Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It's just so good to be able to be connected today. When I think about everything that's going on in our world, recent hurricane and storms that have passed through the eastern coast, Louisiana, really getting hit hard, and also those storms that came off of it and hit the New York area. One of the weather forecasters said, this is the first time ever the New York area has received a flood warning, and there were people that died. And so we need to be in prayer. We need to stay in the presence of the Lord. As we see these things occurring, we can also look at our Bible and realize that God's word is true. My dad, when he used to preach and pastor, he brought forth this saying, and I didn't understand it until I've gotten older. He said, you can read the Bible just like a newspaper. And it is so true. As I read the scriptures, I see more and more truths that are occurring and appearing, prophetic truths that are appearing in our day and time. So we need to stay close to the Lord. That's why we've got so many things that we put on our website and the app to encourage you. We've got our on ebcnc.com. We've got Monday night Bible studies and prayer services, Tuesday noonday Bible studies, Wednesday Bible studies. We also have our 8:45 and 10:45 in-person services and our 10 o'clock online. And all of these are to encourage you. It can be tough. So many times it's so easy to be depressed when we see all this news, we hear all this news, and we see the state of our world. But I want you to be encouraged. God is faithful. Stay in his word, and that's what builds us up and edifies us. I want to thank you so much for your giving. However you're giving, maybe through the app, or you're giving on ebcnc.com, or you're sending it into our secure mailbox, or you're in our in-person services, however you're doing that, thank you. But remember, giving is not just financially. We thank you for that. But giving is reaching out to others, checking on others, texting, embracing, sharing with one another. I've been encouraging people as we've been in this virtual mindset with our Bible study, to invite someone over, you know, sit on the porch, bring them inside and your inner circle, and you can look at Bible studies together. You can pause it, you can ask questions, and so that we can continually build community as the Lord is saving souls and bringing people to the knowledge of the truth of him. And it is so good, as I say so many times, to be saved. Where I want our hearts to be prepared for the word today as we get back into the series on distractions and fears. There have been a lot of distractions and fears. So we're going to have a scripture, and we're going to have prayer and a song as we meditate on the goodness of the Lord. See you soon.
Psalm 142 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Psalm 124, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Our help is in none other than the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Lord, we thank you for some 2,000 years ago, a little child was born. We thank you that same little child suffered and died on the cross just for me. Lord, we pray for our pastor and his family, and for his wife that's still traveling and his daughters. Pray for the Ebenezer Church family. Lord, we want to pray for those that are less fortunate than us, for those that are in hospitals, rest home, even the prison. And Lord, most of all, pray for that lost sinner. Now, Lord, as we go through this day, we just want to thank you, because early this morning, you allowed us to see a new day. We thank you, Lord, because down through the years, you've been by our side. You watched over us and you kept us in your arms. Now, Lord, as we prepare our heart for a morning message, somebody needs Jesus this morning. They're going through trials and tribulations. But all you got to do is put your trust in the Lord. Lean on his everlasting arm. Oh, Father, we just thank you for so many blessings. Now, Lord, in the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Real, real, Jesus is real to me. Morning, he's real.
I am so glad that we have a gracious Father in heaven that has sent his son Jesus for us. And those who have accepted Christ, we get to have his Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And that is so important as we're getting back into this series today of distractions and fear. If you're like me, over the last 7 days, the enemy does not give up. He is a master at bringing distractions and fear in our lives. But remember our memory verse that we'll be lifting up throughout this series, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I encourage, I've been talking to some members and they've been quoting that scripture to me. And this is what we can really, really build a foundation on as these distractions and fear come our way. We can reach to the cross of Calvary and know that God has done more than enough for us. Also, I want to let you know as we go through these scriptures today to look at your own life. I want you to apply this to your life and to realize all of us have messed up. But as we examine how the enemy attacks, he usually goes kind of the same way over and over again. But thank God we can walk in the wisdom of God. Before we go any further, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for this day that you've made. Lord, I'm just exhilarated that we can rejoice and be glad in it no matter where we find ourselves in. Now, Lord, I just pray for those who are looking in who don't know you, Lord. Would you help them today to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them understand what Ephesians 2:8 is all about. For by grace we're saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift, Lord, that their lives be changed and transformed to your likeness. Lord, thank you for the saints who have accepted you, Lord, who are walking you. Encourage us today by this word, Lord. Correct us today by this word. Help us, Lord, also to be more and more like you, to be lights in this dark world. Now, Father, as I approach this word, do it very carefully. Would you forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness? Therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you to teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth. Make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Thank you for your anointing. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's go to our focus scripture for today, 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And I want to focus in on that second verse, 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 2. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. I want to speak from the title today, Eye Trouble. As we enter into the context of these scriptures today, the time frame is about 1000 BC. God has blessed Israel in so many ways, and especially by raising up a king called David. Remember, he followed Saul that went crazy, literally lost his mind, was demon-possessed. But God raises up this man who loves him with his whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, which also complicates this story today. Acts 13:22 gives us a insight into David's life. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as a king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Saints, we must realize no matter how close we are to the Lord, the enemy wants to take us down. There are times in our lives, even walking with the Lord, if we're not careful, we can allow ourselves to get puffed up, to think that we're all that, and the one that we used to depend on can actually become a kind of a ghostly thought in the background because we go about it with our own strength and with our own knowledge. And today we're going to see David as he he enters into, I believe, one of the darkest times of the scripture. But I want you to be encouraged. The fact that God allowed this section of scripture to be left there, that we could learn from it. And even one of his most popular saints, we're able to see a weakness and sin. Let's jump into this section of scripture today. 2 Samuel 11:1, it reads, "It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem." Here's our first point. Get this one. This is powerful. Stay in the battle. Yes, yes. Stay in the battle. This is key and critical. Before I even extrapolate this and break this down, in our lives, you need to stay in the battle. There is no vacation time. Even when you're on vacation, you need to stay in the battle. Warren Wiersbe, a noted theologian, he writes, he says, "You start on the path to sin when you neglect duty. David was more in danger in Jerusalem than with his army on the battlefield. He laid aside his armor." That's heavy eye trouble. Here at this point in his life, everything is going well for David. God has blessed him tremendously. His kingdom has been increased. He is a wonderful soldier. He is a gifted soldier, a gifted leader. But now we find him at this point taking a respite in a sense. Paul the Apostle reminds us, Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Saints, we must be vigilant at all times. Vigilant at all times. This is so important, because when we let our hair down, when we decide that, you know what, we're out of trouble, that's when the enemy can come in so quickly with distractions and fear. Remember 1 Peter 5:8, we've quoted this over and over again. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Eye trouble. Let's go to this next portion of scripture, 2 Samuel 11:2. "Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?'" Here's another point. Please get it. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. David should have been in the battle, but yet he's home at this point, and there are processes that are going through his mind. Let's look closely at 2 Samuel 11:2. Notice that first part. It said David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. This is a point that I want to pull out of this scripture. So often we can allow pride to rise up in our heart. I believe, looking at the scripture in the context, that David gets up because he wants to observe his kingdom. He wants to walk on the king's rooftop and look over all the kingdom, all the things that he has. And for a brief moment, I believe that he allowed this pride to rise up in his heart. He allowed himself to think that this is what I have done, and somehow, as said before, kind of pushes God's leadership and his power in the background. Remember Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." I can see him there, just feeling himself in a sense that he has got this. He is in control. He is powerful. But notice that second part of the scripture. It said, "And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold." Eye trouble. This is critical. As he's in this dangerous moment and distractions begin to come into his mind, the enemy has already set up an interaction. This woman is there. She is beautiful. And the devil, I know he is laughing in the background. And David does not realize that the enemy has been lurking for him. The enemy has been waiting to take him out. The Spirit speaks in 1 John 2:15, "Do not love the world world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, listen to this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. In the chat, say eyes. As you're sitting on your thing, say eyes. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Eye trouble. 2 Samuel 11:4-5. Then David sent messengers and took her. And she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, so she sent and told David and said, I am with child. Here's another point. It's complicated. It's complicated. Notice at this point, it goes from not being in the battle to being on the rooftop to looking and seeing Bathsheba to sleeping with this married woman. It's complicated. David now goes down the wrong path. He's going down the path of destruction. James 1:14-15 actually describes what's going on. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. David could have had anybody. He had all of these wives that he had married and beautiful women. He could have did it the right way, but instead he goes about it the wrong way, and he wants and desires this lady that is already married to someone else. Now, this is critical. I want to look at that 2 Samuel 11:4, that first part. Then David sent messengers and took her. This is a very strong word in the Hebrew, and I have discussions, and I'll call out one of my children, Joy. She is really volatile about this. She said David should have been taken to jail. He raped Bathsheba, and I was trying to figure out, man, did he really rape Bathsheba? Or what was this? But when I looked in the scripture, she is right on it. He took her. It's very strong. In essence, she did not want to go, but it was the king, and so they overtook her and forced her to be with David. And let me explain. It's like, Pastor, what is the proof? I looked at David's line. Remember, the wages of sin is death, and that which we do to others many times will come back on us. David has a beautiful daughter later. Her name is going to be Tamar, and Tamar is actually raped by her half-brother Amnon, and so now David is actually having to go through this whole process of what he did to Bathsheba is now coming back to his family. Find out that this is taken to another level. Bathsheba is pregnant. One time, he allows these desires to overtake him, this temptation, distractions to come into his life, and now he sleeps with another man's wife. She becomes pregnant, and I can only imagine what David is going through. I'm talking about eye trouble here. He's trying to go through the processes because he's king, and everybody has respect him. He is a religious man. He's supposed to love the Lord. This is David that danced before God. This is David that prayed powerful prayers. This is David that was overtaking a Goliath with just one stone. This is David, God's man. Now he's gotten another man's wife pregnant. What is he going to do? It's complicated. If only he would have owned up to it. Yes, if only he would have just realized, I have messed up, I have made a mistake, and began to confess his sins. But Proverbs 5:21 out of the CEV, it says, the Lord sees everything and he watches us closely. There may be someone that's looking and listening in there, and I'm talking to you right now. Please understand, God sees everything. Everything that's done in the dark, God knows it. If you have sinned, I want to say this again, own it. In the chat, type own it. If you have sinned, own it. Go before God. James 5:16, NLT, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Yes, God realizes there are going to be some serious mistakes in our lives, but 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Eye trouble. David, finds himself in a complicated situation. 2 Samuel 11:6, it says, then David sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. That's Bathsheba's husband. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah had come to him, David asked how Joab was doing and how the people were doing and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. So Uriah departed from the king's house, and a gift of food from the king followed him. Yes, yes. A little small talk here. And then he's like excited. Uriah's there. And he said, go on down to your house and I'm going to send some food to you. Here's another point. You can't fix it. No, you can't fix it. How many times in our lives have we tried to fix our mess ups? Tried to do all we could do to bring this broken puzzle back together? But notice this, 2 Samuel 11:8. And David said, Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. And then he sent a gift of food from the king to follow him. David, in his own mind, in his own knowledge and wisdom, he's like, I got this worked out. Uriah is going to be sent home, and it's early in her pregnancy. And so Uriah will sleep with his wife. Everything will be fine. I'll be the daddy from afar. Everybody will still esteem me. I'll still be in love with the Lord. Nobody will ever know eye trouble. How often has the enemy said that we can cover our own sins? Yes, yes. He says that we can fix our sins, but I want you to know you can't fix it. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Eye trouble. Saints of God, this is so important. As the enemy brings distractions and our fears, you need to be quick to confess your sins. You need to be quick to run to the altar. You need to be quick to call on the Lord and say, God, I have messed up. Help me to be more like you. Look at 2 Samuel 11:9. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his Lord, and did not go down to his house. So when they had told David, saying, Uriah did not go down to his house, David said to Uriah, did you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house? Verse 11, and Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah are dwelling in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go to my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife Bathsheba? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing. Then David said to Uriah, wait here today also, and tomorrow I will let you depart. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. Now when David called him, he ate and drank before him, and he made him drunk. And at evening, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of the Lord. Notice this, but he did not go down to his house. Ah, trouble. Here's another point. Blind to righteousness. Blind to righteousness. This is heavy here, to think that Uriah is more honorable than David, to think that Uriah, even in this drunken stupor, still does not go to his house, even with all of the chicanery that this David is bringing forth, trying to bring deception to get him back home. Uriah still, he's a man of honor, and he says, I can't go home when the battle was still going on. I cannot go home when other people are struggling. I'm going to stay right here. What takes it to an even a higher and sad level is that Uriah's name means something very powerful. Yahweh is light. Yes, yes, Yahweh is light. So every time Uriah's name was said and David would say it, he would be poking himself. Yahweh is light, Yahweh is light, because he has not confessed his sins. David has not confessed this adulterous relationship. He is not owning up to what he has done. But every time he's trying to fix this, he's saying Uriah, but it's coming back to him. Yahweh is light. Oh, how David continues to walk in darkness, even as he's saying Yahweh is light. Uriah is a worshiper of God. He loves the Lord. He is a righteous man, but David is distracted and fearful. distractions and fear. Yes, yes, the distraction of the rooftop now turns in not just a distraction there of pleasure, but now he's fearful. He's fearful of losing honor. He's fearful of all the things that can come out of this. How often have we found ourselves in similar situations, rushing to fix our mistakes, rushing to try to bring things back together? But please understand, God sees us. Look at 2 Samuel 11:13 closely, that first part. Now when David called him, he ate and drank before him, and he made him drunk. All of these things David is trying to pull forth, but God is like, David, just repent. David, just come forth. God does not allow him to take an easy route, but notice the enemy keeps coming at him, throwing fiery darts at David. MacDonald writes this, in desperation, David made Uriah drunk, but the faithful soldier still refused to go home. Uriah's loyalty, listen to this, and faithfulness stand in marked contrast to the king's treachery. Ah, trouble. Look at this next portion of scripture, 2 Samuel 11:14. In the morning it happened that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. This is a sad scripture. And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him that he may be struck down and die. So it was while Joab besieged the city that he assigned Uriah to a place where he knew there were valiant men. And then the men of the city came out and fought with Joab, and some of the people of the servants of David fell, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Here's another point. Sin always leads to death. Yes, sin always leads to death. Let's look at how cold-hearted David has become. How something not being in the battle can lead to the rooftop, can lead to sleeping with another man's wife, to her getting pregnant, to now plotting the death of another man. Notice 2 Samuel 11:15 again. And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him that he may be struck down and die. Where is David's relationship at this point? What's going on in his mind? And we can identify, because some of us in our lives, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the kingdom of God. We got caught up. We thought that we could fix it, as said before. We thought we could work our way through and slide through. We felt that God didn't see us because he didn't speak, because he didn't do anything vividly. We felt like that somehow we were getting away with it. And the enemy keeps pushing to the nth degree. David has no regard for life at this point. Theologian Farstead, he emphasized this terrible incident. He said the king ordered Joab to put Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle where death would be inevitable. And then Uriah would not be allowed to disown the baby that would be born. Joab directed the battle so that Uriah would be sure to be killed. He ordered his troops to advance, then called both flanks to withdraw. As Uriah and his men in the center moved forward, they were easy targets for the Ammonites on the wall. Militarily, it was ridiculous, but it succeeded in eliminating Uriah as well as many other loyal servants of David. Please, saints, understand this.